Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello everyone, Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on a Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. on the Central Side with a great friend of ours. Her name is Darlene Sartori. Darlene runs the Ideal Network. If you go to idealnetwork.biz or idealnetwork.biz, Well, she's got a couple of them. So if you go to, idealnetwork.biz, she's got one with us. I forget, we have so many of them, idealnetwork.info. And we have some other one, idealnetwork.resources is another one. So I don't know, we got a lot of websites. So the reality is that we are here every Wednesday talking to Darlene. And I was a little bit distracted because I was thinking about what I was going to say relative to a recent event that happened or didn't happen. And we'll talk about both aspects of that. But Darlene and I have been doing this radio show for a real long time. I remember my name is Peter Mingles. Darlene's is Darlene Sartori. And if you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com and you look for Darlene Sartori or the Ideal Network, you'll be able to find the previous radio shows that we've done. So today is Wednesday. It's 2 days, almost to the 24 hours after the incredible total solar eclipse that happened, and another one won't hit the United States for another 20-somewhat years, so many of us, I hate to say it, won't be here for the next one, but the reality is that it happened, or it didn't happen, depending on what you were looking forward to, and this just gives us a wonderful opportunity to talk about how crazy and goofy this human race is, and how we are protected and also somewhat misguided by the civilization that we choose to live in or happen to be placed in. So we'll talk about all of that sort of stuff as we go. But taking some of the confusion out of my introduction, a lot of people build a lot of things into the total solar eclipse. And for some people, it was perfect weather and they had a wonderful experience. For other people, they were within the path and they had clouds, which really sucks because you didn't have that same wonderful experience. And for some of us, like over here in Florida, we were able to make up our own experience because it was a teeny-weeny little part of a solar eclipse, just enough where we could imagine that something might be going on. So I made the cereal box for those people that are unfamiliar with the cereal box and those other kind of things, so you don't have to blind yourself trying to look at the solar eclipse. But we're here to talk about Darlene's personal experience because she is in Indiana, and Darlene and some other people actually were in a perfect place to see the last solar eclipse for the next 20 years. So, Darlene, so thanks for being here. Why don't you tell us about your experience?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I'm still recovering. We, of course, went to Bald Knob, B-A-L-D, K-N-O-B, Palace of Peace. That's 111-foot tall cross that sits on top of the mountain. That's about, I think it's about 1,000 feet above sea level. Quote me there. I'm not, but it's way up there. And so we made the choice of, you know, instead of staying here home, because we have just a total, just about the same amount of time here in that path. But after I had, Tegan and John and I made a trip previously to find out about this place because we never had been there. And after we went there and visited, we said, this would be a great place to go. And so it was worth the funds that was required in order to go and be on top of that mountain. And what was so unique, and I told you about this last time, the number 2 and then the word eclipses.com, and I mentioned this site, I believe. And then last week we weren't able to do the pre dynamic that I had planned to talk about things that were, you know, the predictions and the prophecies and et cetera. So the uniqueness about this was that X cross of August the 21st of 2017 went across one part of the United States, and then this one went across the other part of the United States on April the 8th of 2024. And where those paths crossed was very close to where would be above that cross. So I'm thinking from what I've been able to figure out the research and et cetera, it actually was closer to the Carbondale, which was the area that is one of the closest towns there in Illinois. But it was a very unique experience in the fact that, number one, it was a perfect day. I mean, the weather was, we had had really cold weather the week before, and it's, but this was just absolutely gorgeous. It was probably in the low 70s. But what I wanted to bring about the temperature is when the eclipse happened, it was like that temperature dropped. I had taken my jacket off, and I was sitting there, and I started shivering. It dropped. I know it. I'd like to know for sure, factually, how much temperature it actually, but it felt like it dropped at least 20 to 30 degrees when that sun was totally blocked out for those 4 minutes. Really wasn't full 4 minutes, because you've got the eclipse going over it, and then it stops there where you got the corona around it. That's not an area that I deal a lot with. So I don't know all the words or the terminologies and et cetera. I do, if I had to do it all over again, I would have probably taken this eclipse a little more seriously because of the uniqueness of it. Now, was any of the prophecies, that people were foretelling happening? I didn't see anything other than the shift of the temperature, and then when the moon moved away, and the temperature came right back up very slowly, and it was just one of those. It was like this level of peace was there. Everybody just was oohing and on when it was going on, and everybody had their glasses on, and their people were laying all over the top of the mountain there, just, laid out, watching up and looking at. It was just a great experience to see that many people and so much, everyone being so polite and just a marvelous experience of this is the way that humanity ought to behave all the time, is being peaceful polite. They had an overflux of their expectations. When we bought our tickets, there was, plenty of et cetera. And so we were supposed to have had our cars parked. We bought a lot. And so the parking area was supposed to be where you parked your car, and then you had 10 feet around it, or one side or the other, so that you could have your picnic table or whatever, our table set up, and, chairs and et cetera. Well, when we arrived that morning for it, they'd done away from that completely. So what they did is they put stakes in the ground with your name on it if you had bought that spot, and then you had 10 feet by 10 foot cubicle to set your chairs up in. So you still had to park your cars way down the hill. Okay. That's okay for people who are not handicapped, but Tegan and I, neither one can walk that well. Fortunately, we brought our walkers with us so that, we don't go anywhere without our walkers, because we do have some instability on walking. So fortunately, they did have and were able to round up enough carts, electric carts, so they were able to give people a ride, and those guys did just an awesome job. So they apparently, that last few days must have been totally undated with people wanting to be there, and all of a sudden, and all they wanted to do was to park and be there for that short period of time that the eclipse was going on. So what they had thought was going to be a relatively small group of people, I would love to know, but I would guess there was probably 500 to 600 cars, or maybe somebody said they thought there was close to 1,000 cars up there, but I don't think there was that many. But there were a lot of cars up on the top of that mountain. And so it was interesting to see how peaceful people were. Nobody really got angry because they didn't, you know, like, okay, it's a little upsetting to a certain, but at the same time, I wasn't going to let that pick up, so to speak, and interfere with the day. So it you ebb and flowed with it, and so it turned out to be a really great experience. It was one of those experiences you wish you could prepare for it better, but if you've not been through one, you don't know exactly what to expect to it. You know, I've been through a couple of them so far, but to be able to know exactly where to look and how to see things going was a little bit of a challenge. Because you didn't know from your direction. Well, fortunately, I had just bought a new flashlight that I just got from the Four Patriots, and I'll give a plug for them. It's the numeral 4 and then patriots.com, where you can buy survival foods and things like that. Well, they had run an ad for buying X number of things, and you would get one of the free new flashlights they had. Well, on that flashlight, it's got a hammer on one side, and it's got a cutter on the other side, so you can actually cut your seatbelt if you needed to, if you were in an accident. It's a survival flashlight. And on one end of it is a magnet, and then on the other end is a compass. It's really a cool, and so I played around with that. And so I used that actual compass to be able to figure out which way it was supposed to be coming. So while other people were kind of maybe already planned or whatever, I was on my phone actually doing some research. So although we arrived about 3 hours before the event started, that gave me about 3 hours to play around with my phone and get a little more acclimatized as to the path that it actually would be in reference to where we were sitting. So about an hour after we got there, one of the guys came by and we got to talk, and I said, well, you know, I was expecting to be up on the other side here where the cross is and where, you know, I would have my car so I could sit in my car and be able to see it. And he said, which one is your lot? And I said, well, I'm supposed to have lot 28. And he said, I know. Let me ask if it's okay for my director if you – want to bring your car up here where the directors are sitting. So we walked over and asked the director, and she just waved at me. And so he said, okay, let's go get your car, and you follow me back up here, then you can swing your car around here, and you can park right along here where our row is of those that are workers or et cetera. That's what it did. So we ended up at least up close by the cross, the foot of the cross. So I got some pretty good pictures of taking my camera and holding it up and getting a picture of the sun going, coming up towards where the cross is and then seeing it happening. So I got some pretty good pictures. I haven't looked through them all yet to see whatever I got and et cetera, but not knowing we had been warned not to use your phones to take pictures too much and because it can burn your internal parts of your phone, camera parts, so to be cautious with that. So anyway, there was a great experience of learning. Now, they did have before the eclipse here locally, I do remember hearing that they were having some schools were having some pre-prep and things like that of learning it. So I'm hoping that the kids were a little more accustomed to what was going on than some of us olders, et cetera. But it was an experience to see something like this happening. And so, of course, having the glasses, being able to put those on, you could actually see what you could not see by looking up at the sun. So the glasses were vital for actually seeing clips happening, seeing it coming across, and then being completely blocking it and just seeing the corona and then seeing it go off to the other side of it. So it was, those glasses were very interesting. Well, today I went to the library, just following up some other things, and I happened to start talking with a guy that was there, and we were talking about the glasses and he was talking about his experience, and then she was talking about hers, and so the three of us got into a conversation, and she said, "Oh yeah, we had a I noticed on their October thing, make your own solar glasses." I said, "Oh, I didn't see that." And she said, "Yeah, and let me show you mine I made." And she went and got the pair that she made, and it was really awesome. So they apparently had some really good educational things for the kids, and I'm just so appreciative for the local library and for all the other organizations that helped our kids to really prepare. Now, I'm absolutely sure, because I heard a couple kids that were a little bit disappointed. It wasn't what they were expecting. It happened too close and too quick for them to settle down and look up and listen to what their parents were telling them as to actually where to look so they could see where the glasses would show just a little part of that eclipse happening. And so I know a lot of the kids were very unprepared for that, as I was, because I had to keep moving my head around trying to find, with those glasses on, they're totally black. Everything's around you is black. But once you get, figuring out, so the trick is to put the glasses up on the top part of your head, okay, and then slowly start bringing them down while you're kind of looking at the sun without looking at it directly, and then kind of tip your head back. So by the time you had figured it out, it was almost over. So it's one of those things you can't really practice for it. So it was one of those fun things that we all had kind of a laugh about it. And so we kind of enjoyed the differences and the things, what would we do differently? So like, Peter said, I think our next eclipse is going to be in 2044, if I'm remembering right. So if I'm around
That's
by
correct.
Then, I'll be a little more
20
prepared.
Years.
Yeah. So This is a dynamic of comprehending. So that I much talk about the Urantia books and the Urantia papers and things. And in the one website that they built so well for this, the twoeclipses.com site, it says, do the eclipses validate the Urantia revelation and its story of Jesus? And that's the question. And, of course, then it talks about the beginning of Jesus's human experience as given in the Urantia revelations. His birth was August the 21st. This is the same date of the 2017th eclipse, and I mentioned that. Okay, so this is one of those sites that you need to really maybe copy the information off of it or keep it. I don't know whether they'll keep it up or whatever, but there is a lot of good information right there that pulls these two events together. And then it says, the end of Jesus's human experience as given in the Urantia revelation, the first full day that Jesus lay in the tomb was April the 8th, in the date of the, which is the date of the 2024 eclipse. So those dates, August the 21st and April the 8th, were kind of unique to what it talks about in the Urantia papers. I thought that was extremely Interesting. And then it says in paper 195, section 9, paragraph 2, in the Urantia Revelation says, Urantia is now quivering on the very brink of one of the most amazing and enthralling epics of social readjustment, moral quickening, and spiritual enlightenment. I think that is worth putting up on your paper, on your refrigerator. It's copying that and putting it on your refrigerator. Because if you have been watching the events that are going around the world with the Israel attacking, that defending itself, and they're now being attacked for defending themselves, and all of the other things that are happening around the planet that are looking like things that are trying to pull us into World War III, and how we need to resist the overreaction to these things. But this is a very, very, very fast-moving changes that are happening in our lifetime. I was laughing today when I was talking with these new people that I met at the library, and we were having this wonderful conversation. I said, I've got great-grandkids, and one of the biggest jokes that they tell about grandma and great-grandma is, she knows when there was no TV. Does that make you kind of stop and think a minute? Yes, I remember when there wasn't a TV. There was only just a radio. And so we've come a long way in my lifetime. And I've mentioned before, I'll be 80 in October the 5th of this year, of 2024. And I remember there when there wasn't TV. I remember things that went on in my life and when I was 5 and 6, and I even remember a few instances of things that happened before that. And the things that have happened, I never would have dreamed of, the technology that we have, the internet. Being able to put these websites up and do these things, the technology. It takes a lot to keep up with this stuff, and it can get overwhelming. And this is what I think I, more than anything else, is to say, we need to stop, I guess they say, and smell the roses. You need to take time. Right now, the daffodils have been blooming in the front yard now for the last couple weeks, and they are so beautiful. And I noticed that the forsythias in our area had really started blooming out a couple weeks ago. And springtime is such a wonderful awakening. And I look out my south window. I have my office where I sit, where I can see out the south part of my property out here in the country. And the amount of trees that have greened up in just the last couple weeks. It's like, wow, how do they know to start waking up and those leaves popping out the green? And so what was just a couple weeks ago, I couldn't even see through my woods. I could see through my woods, rather, with all the trees down off the leaves off of the trees. And right now I'm looking out there for the first time. I'm noticing, wow, I can hardly see through the creek bank area of trees. The leaves are all popping out all of a sudden, and so it's all waking up. And we have been going through a drought kind of area in Indiana, southern Indiana, and so the grass had been brown, and now there's patches that are just a few places where it's still brown and everything else is greened up. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, this eclipse and the bringing us together and people looking at what might happen. I do know that there was one gentleman specifically that was just absolutely sure that the rapture was going to occur and et cetera, and was quite devastated, I think, that this hadn't happened. So if things don't go the way that we are, remember, we're not supposed to know the time on some of these things. Now, if it hadn't been for us having as much scientific knowledge of astronomers who now have been able to track the suns and the moons and the stars and all of these things that we know now. We didn't have that 100, 200, 300 years ago. And, so we didn't have as easy a tracking. So we are so richly blessed in our society to have as much technology and a bunch of far knowledge that we had to prepare. And then we look back and say, gee, I wish I had known this or how I'd done that. Well, next time, start talking to your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, and start letting them know how wonderful some of these strange things that go on out there in our planets and our universes that we haven't even got a clue about right now. So it's almost the end of our time. You want to add anything, Peter, right quick?
No, it's all great information. I am so glad that you had a wonderful trip. So I'm glad the weather held up for you. I'm glad all the expectations went your way. I'm glad you had that whole experience, and I'm really happy that you're able to share this with our Building Fortunes radio listening audience. So the interesting, thing is, it was wonderful to see what people do with a natural event, as far as the stories they tell themselves. So for some people, it was just a physical event. The sun is being, blinded, if you will, by the moon as it's just kind of getting in the way. And that's it. Like, it happens every once in a while. It's kind of like if you walk in front of the light, you get a shadow, or you block out the light. So for some people, it was just a natural physical event. For other people, it meant something way different. And what I'm always kind of tickled by is for those people that predicted the doom and gloom and devastation, the idea that it doesn't happen, that they're disappointed. It's kind of like, what were you expecting? Were you hoping that the world would end? Or were you hoping that something would be going on? Were you hoping that devastation would happen? The reality is that it hasn't. For as long as we've been around, that doomsday hasn't happened after a solar eclipse. And it probably won't happen in 2024 either, or 2044 rather. So it's fun to watch people's reactions. But interesting to see how fun, I'm going to use the term fun, it is that something just like a natural event could move people and change their actions for the day or the week. And everybody's got a story. Not everybody. Lots of people have a story about how that happened. So back to you.
Well, it's awesome. Okay, so we will shift our attention back on track next week, working more and more about the chaplains, of course, and I'll pick up to where we were at with the Ideal Universal Society and some of the things that we're going to be working towards over the next 10 years. Remember, we do things in 10-year increments and et cetera. And so we now are into the fourth year. Hard to believe we're into the fourth year of this decade. And so we do things in 10 years. So where are we at 4 years down the road in the path? And so we'll pick that up now for where we're doing in this long term. And I told somebody just a few minutes ago when I was talking with them before the call started, I said, people don't realize that I'm doing something that know what I was here to do when I was 6 years old. Okay. And so maybe that's where I'll start next week, is with this, why my vision, why some people don't think long term. So it's very important that we think early on in our lives is, what am I here to do, so that I can get the education, the wisdom, the make the connections, and et cetera. And so now that we have the internet and a lot of different ways to communicate with people, it's easier to connect with people that share your vision. Whether you love music, whether you like painting, whether truth, beauty, and goodness, whether you love the garden, what is it that you love to do as a child that you love to go play in the sandbox, you love to do these things, what were they the beginning of you that you looked around and said, this is what I want to do with my life? Because the earlier you know what you want to do with your life, the faster you will get the education to achieve it. So my telephone number, 812-664-7419, and stay tuned for next week, because we're going to talk about how you can actually get involved with our project and maybe make a little money as you go along. Take care.
Perfect. Yeah, look, we'll see everybody next week. Thanks, Darlene.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.